Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. I'm so glad you're joining us today, whether it's around the world, in the chat room, or even on the phone. This is a weekly entertainment information show. We come on at 6 p.m. every Wednesday on the West Coast at 6 and 9 p.m. on the East Coast. You can call into the show and give a shout-out for a special person or upcoming event in your life. The chat room is always open for discussions, although it's not open today because I'm by myself. Discussions weekly will center around hot topics, politics, NFL, NBA, MLB, weather changes, what's new in music just got released, most entertainment news around television, movies, and cable shows, updates on performers, singers, actors, and sports figures. If there is a subject you would like to see discussed, then please contact us at our website, www.theessenceofsuccess.com. That's www.theessenceofsuccess.com. Now, the phone number to the show, if you'd like to call in and give a shout-out or something about event, or if you just want to call in and get in on the discussion, that phone number is 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. So we've got a busy show tonight. The first thing up, of course, in the news right now is those California fires. So we're going to talk about that. That's the first thing up, and I can't remember what's next, but we got a full schedule tonight. So California wildfires, why have they been so destructive, y'all? Intense, fast-moving fires have been raging across much of California since Sunday night. The blazes have barreled through communities like freight trains, turning homes into dust in the blink of an eye and leaving at least 21 people dead to date. The largest of the fires are in the state wine country north of San Francisco, which is Napa Valley, y'all, if you're not aware of that. We've never seen anything like this, but was not prepared for the ferocity of this year's fire season. What has been the fires? Why have the fires been so destructive? Well, wildfires often break out in California in October after the state's dry, sunny summers. The fires are worse this year because of record heat over the summer and high winds now, which can swiftly turn the smallest fires into fast-moving infernos. Weather experts note that this year's outbreak was a long time in the making. Drought parched California for years, leaving it littered with fuel in the form of dry vegetation. Then the winter of 2016 and the spring of 2017 brought record amounts of rainfall, which spurred new plant growth that was followed by months of extreme heat that weathered the new growth and turned it into more tender. Finally, the autumn winds from the northeast, known as the Diablo winds, began blowing through the region for over the weekend at speeds of 70 miles per hour or more. All of this is happening in a region where most people are building homes tucked into forests. What lit these fires in the first place? Well, officials are not sure yet. There were 22 major fires burning in the state on Wednesday. The specific cause of each fire will be investigated, according to Tom Porter, Southern California Regional Chief and the state's fire agency. In general, the vast majority of wildfires are caused by people, Mr. Porter said, and the past few months have been so dry that even seemingly innocuous human activities, a boat trailer chain dragging on a road, engine heat coming off a car parked in a grassy area, have lit fires. It is possible, he said, that similar things may have started some of the current fires going on now. Daniel Boulant, Assistant Deputy Director of California Fire, the state firefighting agency, said there were no thunderstorms in the region when the fire started, so lightning has been all but ruled out as cause. Could have been down power lines. Well, state officials are looking into the possibility. There were some reports of sparking power lines, which other electrical equipment problems over the weekend, and poor power line maintenance by the main utility in Northern California. The Pacific Gas and Electric Company has been blamed for some past wildfires. Power lines are definitely one of the causes we're looking into, Mr. Berlant said, adding one thing we'll be looking at is whether the fire started before the lines went down or after. Mr. Arian Van Rennen, a spokesman for the utility, acknowledged the electric fires were down in the region but said it was too early to say whether they could have sparked the fire. In 2015, a pine street in the Sierra, in the Sierra Nevada mountains came into contact with a 12-volt conductor and burst into flames, leading to a fire that killed two people, destroyed 550 homes, and scorched 70,000 acres. The State Public Utilities Commission concluded it fined the utility company $8.3 million in April for failing to properly clear vegetation around the power lines. What's the role of climate change here? Well, fire season in general have grown longer and more destructive in recent decades, something scientists attribute to part to an increased dryness caused by warming temperatures. It is clear, however, whether the season for this kind of wind-driven fire in California has lengthened. Researchers from the University of Idaho and Columbia University published a study last year saying that climate change has caused more than half of the dryness of western forests since 1979. Parched landscapes can increase fire size and duration, says Scott L. Stevens, a professor of fire science at the University of California, Berkeley. But it is important to note, he added, that climate change is not necessarily causing Pacific fires to occur. Wildfires are a natural part of a forest life cycle and have been part of the state's history since long before anyone called it California. Well, who is fighting the fires? About 8,000 firefighters from local, state, and federal agencies are on the job, according to California Fire. How do these fires compare with past California wildfires? These are excellent questions. Taken together, the current wildfire outbreak is now the second deadliest of the last century, according to state figures. The Oakland Hills fire in October 1991 was the deadliest, killing 25 people. The Bay Area is blanketed in smoke from the fires. Is it bad to breathe? The short answer, yes, it is. Residents can check on air quality in the area on the airnow.gov website. Make sure to look both at current conditions as well as the forecast. When wood, grass, and other materials burn, the flames produce gases and throw fine, solid particles in the air. These particles can bury deep into lungs, which can be particularly dangerous for people with heart or lung disease, older adults, people with diabetes, pregnant women, and children whose lungs are still developing. Over the last few days, parts of the Bay Area have experienced extremely high levels of air pollution from the fires. Tom Flatican, a spokesman for the Bay Area Air Quality Management District, called the situation similar to what you see in Beijing, China. The agency advises Bay Area residents to limit outdoor activities, keep their windows and doors closed, and set air conditioners and automobile ventilation systems to recirculate interior air rather than drawn in outside air. If residents have masks available, they should use them now. And that's the story on the fire. So now we've got more of understanding about what's going on. It's nothing new per se, but you got to be watchful. Like they said, it's worse than it has been in previous years. So you want to take note and heed, and especially people with respiratory problems. My goodness, we definitely want to do something about that, huh? Okay, now the next story up, you guys know every year Kathy Griffin always does a CNN New Year's Eve show with Anderson. What's the guy's name? I got Anderson, I can't even think. Anderson Cooper. That's it, with Anderson Cooper. So, of course, with all the controversy around Kathy this year dealing with her picture of Trump's beheaded, of course, she lost a lot of endorsement, productions, even to be on tour. Kathy's kind of like right now a red flag that you just don't know whether or not you want to be bothered. But anyway, Andy Cohen is replacing Kathy Griffin on the CNN New Year's Eve show. How about that, y'all? Anderson Cooper has found a new sidekick to watch the ball drop with after Kathy Griffin dropped the ball. Andy Cohen was announced as a new co-host of CNN's New Year's Eve coverage, a role that was previously held by Griffin before she posted with a fox decapitated head of President Trump in a photo. I told y'all. The Bravo TV personality confirmed the news on his Twitter account Wednesday, writing, "I'm co-hosting New Year's Eve on CNN with Anderson Cooper. I could not be more excited." Griffin and Cooper previously served as co-hosts of the show since 2007 and had been longtime friends for nearly two decades, 20 years before their falling out in the wake of the Trump photo scandal. "For the record, I am appalled by the photo shoot Kathy Griffin took part in. It is clear, disgusting, and completely inappropriate," Anderson Cooper wrote at that time. Griffin later told The Cut that the friendship was over because the reporter took too long to reach out. CNN announced Griffin would be fired from her hosting gig almost immediately after the fake bloody head photo went public about Trump. Griffin initially made an emotional apology, regretting her actions, calling the photo horrible. However, she later said, "I'm not laying down for this guy, Trump. I'm going to keep making jokes about this guy," she said. So, anyway, that's update on that as far as CNN. Okay, well, right now it's about 6:15, so you know what? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right on back, so don't you go anywhere. You know, we're going to be right here. So, see you in 2 and 2.
No.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. The time right now is 6:20 on the Northwest Coast, and it's 9:20 on the East Coast. I'm so glad that you're joining us today, whether it's around the world, in the chat room, or on the phone. So now the next story up, we're going to talk about Trump's lying as usual. You know, I swear, this man, does he know how to tell the truth? I think that goes past him. Anyway, the NFL refutes Trump's tweet. Excuse me, y'all. The burp. Trump's tweet about Goodell is demanding players stand for the anthem. Here we go. The NFL today refuted President Donald Trump's claim that league commissioner Roger Goodell is finally demanding that players stand up during the national anthem. Commentary this morning by the commissioner's position on the anthem is not accurate. President Trump, quote unquote, lied big time as usual. As we said yesterday, there will be a discussion of these issues at the owners' meeting next week. The NFL is doing the hard work of trying to move from protest to progress, working to bring together the league, said in a statement. The NFL's clarification came one day after Goodell said he would meet with the league's 32 owners to address how to move forward amid a national debate about anthems protests. Dozens of NFL players have conducted demonstrations, including kneeling down during the anthem or skipping it altogether, since Trump called on owners to fire any player who fails to stand. You know, the owner of Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, he told his players if they don't stand for the national anthem at the games, there will not be a game for that player, period. In other words, you're gone, you're out. Goodell said he said the league believes everyone should stand for the national anthem, but stopped short of mandating that players stand. The commissioner added that the league would consider forming an in-season platform to allow players to promote social justice efforts. We want to honor our flag and our country, and our fans expect that of us. We also care deeply about our players and respect their opinions and concerns about critical social issues. The controversy over the anthem is a barrier to having honest conversations and making real progress on the underlying issues. We need to move past this controversy, and we want to do that together with our players, Goodell said, quote unquote. Early Wednesday morning, Trump wrote on Twitter that it was about time that Goodell enforced a standing policy for the national anthem amid league-wide player protests. It's about time that Roger Goodell of the NFL is finally demanding that all players, quote unquote, Donald Trump, stand up for our great national anthem, respect our country, quote-unquote, Trump said. Liar, Goodell did not even say that. God, this man lies every day. Can somebody tell me why the President of the United States is on Twitter? That is so immature. He's the President of the United States, and yet he is constantly on Twitter. Every time you look up, he's on Twitter, and I'm like, what is wrong with this man? Is he an adult or a kid, y'all? I mean, really, I'm trying to understand who 45 is. I don't want to call him my president. I just speak about that when I'm reading the news or something. As far as I'm concerned, he's lucky to be called 45th. But the man is a constant liar. I don't understand how the people in Congress and the representatives back there, even the people in his cabinet, can put up with all his lies. And they'll lie even for him, knowing that it's a lie, just like the setup Pence did the other day when he walked out of the Indianapolis Colts game. Y'all, do you know that was staged? That was all stage, all set up ahead of time that him and his wife were going to do that to make a point, but it was all stage. And this thing that's going on right now about Mulaney's beefing with Ivanka because she's saying she's a first lady, you're a Muslim first lady because you walk behind him, you don't hold his arm, you don't hold 45th hand, so you're nothing but a trophy wife. And you haven't did nothing since you've been in office for the public or us women in the United States to stand up and say, hey, Mulaney's got this program going or this committee, whatever, you know, for us to get behind. You haven't done shit. You're not even that good looking of a woman. And if you hear that, Trump's, yes, your wife is okay, but trust me, she's not even good as a trophy wife. If you want to know something, Ivanka, your first wife, look better than her. Okay, let's just call it like it is. She looks better than the lady you're married to right now. Even Marla looked better than her. Okay, so anyway, but you need to quit lying, and you know you're lying. So that's why you get on Twitter and be tweeting back and forth, because it's not about fake news. It's because they're calling you on the carpet and calling you out about what you're saying, because they know it's a lie, just like Goodell. How you going to call Goodell out, the NFL commissioner, and lie about that? His job has already been on the line since 3 years ago. So he don't need nobody else's help, okay? Just to let you know, Trump's, whatever happens, let Goodell take care of that by himself. He don't need no help from you. Anyway, okay, the backlash is coming swift after Trump's tweet about NBC. You know I just led right into that segue. President Trump's suggestion that NBC should potentially have its broadcast license challenged has prompted a wave of condemnation from both sides of the aisle, with many saying that such a move would violate the First Amendment. Really? Okay, really. But everything else, you don't give a damn, okay? Trump lashed out at NBC News on Wednesday after the outlet reported that Trump had suggested increasing the nation's nuclear arms stockpile during a meeting with top cabinet officials. With all of the fake news coming out of NBC and the networks, at what point is it appropriate to challenge their license? Bad for the country, Trump tweeted. While the idea was roundly criticized as a threat to the free press, many don't believe that the president would be able to follow through. The FCC, or the Federal Communications Commission, is in charge of licensing television stations, but it only grants licenses to local stations and not their national network affiliates. And even though NBC's local stations do rely on FCC licenses, it would be highly unusual for the agency to revoke a license based on a broadcaster's content and your stupid-ass president, Donald Trump, number 45. Not how it works. Democratic FCC Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel tweeted in response to the president. Still, congressional Democrats have seized on the president's statements. Many are demanding that Pai, the Republican FCC chairman, condemn the idea. The president's threat against NBC and other media outlets is far from empty. Senator Brian Schwartz of Democrat Hawaii said in a statement referencing similar proposals from President Nixon, who wanted to crack down on the Washington Post during the Watergate era. In confirmation hearings for Pai, we raised this possibility, Schwartz said. Now the FCC must show that it is loyal to the law and not the president. Make clear that it rejects this kind of interference. Trump's tweet came the same day as House Energy Commerce Committee markup on legislation reauthorizing the FCC, and Democrats used the brief meeting to hammer the president. This threat alone could intimidate the press and lead to skewer and unfair reporting. Representative Frank Pallone, Jr. of New Jersey, the top Commerce Committee Democrat, said during the markup, I therefore call for FCC Chairman Pai to immediately condemn this unwarranted attack. I also call on the chair to announce publicly that it will not follow through on his orders from the president, Donald Trump, 45, Chairman Pai should not act in any way to undermine free speech on our airways, he said. And Senator Ed Markey, a Democrat, Massachusetts, sent a letter to Pai on Wednesday asking him to publicly refuse to act on Trump's request. Democrats were not alone in criticizing Trump. Conservatives and industry advocates who often side with Pai also raised concern about the president's message. The founders of our nation set as a cornerstone of our democracy the First Amendment, forever enshrining and protecting freedom of the press, said Gordon Smith, the CEO of the National Association of Broadcasters and a former Republican senator from Oregon. It is contrary to this fundamental right for any government official to threaten the revocation of the FCC license simply because of a disagreement with the reporting of a journalist. Pai has yet to address the president's statement, and a spokesman did not immediately respond when asked for a comment. It is not the first time he's been forced to answer for Trump's invectives against the media. After the president tweeted that the press is enemy of the American people in February, Democrats pressed Pai in an oversight hearing and in a follow-up letter on whether he agreed with the assessment or not. And no, Pai responded. He said no, he did not agree. It's just pathetic, isn't it? Okay, we're going to take another short break and we'll be right on back. Thank you, Marvin. We sure do appreciate that. Welcome back to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The phone number to the show is 646-727-2914. The time right now is 6:35 on the West Coast and 9:35 on the East Coast. Okay, I'm going to play you a little clip here real quick. Roger Goodell explaining there's no policy change on the national anthem, what the guys are doing. Okay, one sec.
On the field and off the field, and I want to talk to you. I'm here in New York. You're here in New York, so I appreciate you. Now, let's start off by the reports that there's going to be a policy change in the NFL that will force players to stand during the national anthem. Even our president came out and said that you're going to force players to stand. What can you say about that?
Well, Nate, there has been no policy change. What we've had is unprecedented dialogue over the last year with our players, our owners, with community leaders, law enforcement, and what we plan to do is have a very in-depth discussion with our players and our owners next week and make sure we truly understand the issues and also understand the approach that we want to take together with the players to address these issues in our communities.
Now, we have had many conversations, so I continue to hear the word dialogue. So for those that are watching and listening to your every word, just go into a little more detail about how that works from top to bottom, working with you and the players.
Well, you know, there are a couple things. First, you have to have dialogue to listen to one another,
yeah,
to learn from one another, and frankly, to understand one another.
Mm.
We need more understanding, and that's what's happened for us over the last year with our players going into the communities, doing listen and learning tours, going on ride-alongs, listening to law enforcement, listening to community leaders, going to bail proceedings and seeing what the players have focused on is what they want to try to improve in their communities. And by sharing that with our owners support that effort. They understand what this is important to our players and want to help them make a difference. And I think that's what's so unique about this is our owners and players coming together to help use the platform to make great changes in our community. Because the bottom line, Nate, is we all agree we want to make our communities better.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I went from the field to now working in the media, so I understand how diligent you are in bridging the gap and all the gaps that we have in the league, so I find this a unique opportunity. So I have to ask, what have you learned over the last few months, 2 years?
Well, I think the most important thing I've learned is how important this is to our players and how much work they've actually done in their communities to identify these issues and identify solutions, more importantly. And by sharing that with us and sharing that with our ownership, I think there's a deeper understanding of each other and how we can go about making our communities better collectively. And we want to support one another in that effort. And I think that's what makes me proudest of our players and makes us proud of our league.
Now, every week it's about what's happening now. You know, that's what everybody wants to pay attention to. What are the players doing pregame, postgame, and now off the field? But what are we going to do moving forward? The question is, how do we continue to progress, and what's your plan with this league moving forward?
Well, Nate, I think that's part of the issue here is that I think the real dialogue and the real issues have been overtaken by the controversy. And I think what we really want to try to do is get back to focusing on the actions that we want to take to really improve our communities and support our players to get those things done and get beyond the current situation into where we're really making a difference in the community and involved with action that is going to have a positive outcome for law enforcement, for our communities, for our country overall.
Now, getting to know you over the last couple years, I know that you move on your own accord. You're not pushed by anybody else's words, whether it's certain things that the players might say or even the president. But is there a sense of urgency in what you're doing and kind of getting this resolved?
Well, I do think there's a sense of urgency because we want to get into the communities and have a positive impact.
Mm.
And I think it's important for us to continue to work together. And I think the urgency that we all feel is continuing the work that we're doing, keeping focused on that, and having a positive outcome for our communities, for our players, for our teams, for our fans, and frankly, for the leaders in our communities. And I believe that urgency is actually beneficial. But this isn't something that started 2 weeks ago. This is something that we have been focused on for well over a year. It's hard work. It requires patience and, frankly, a deeper understanding than, frankly, we're willing to give a lot of these issues. And I know our fans are focused on football as well as they should be, and we want to get that focus on football, but we want to support our players, support our communities, and help make them better.
Commissioner, as a guy who prides himself as being the voice of the players on the field, I appreciate you having an open heart on what's going on in the community and also an open ear to the players and listening to us talk. Have
a
good night.
Well, it's been great for all of us. Thanks, Nate.
Appreciate it.
Okay, and also let me just add this little cudgel over there. Uh-oh. Oh, God. What is this now? Now they want to come up with a commercial? Oh, boy. Okay, so anyway, Commissioner Goodell also added to that, because I want to give the man credit. Goodell added, I think there is a sense of urgency because we want to get the communities and make a positive impact. It is important for us to continue to work together. The urgency that we all feel is continuing the work that we are doing, keeping focus and having a positive outcome for our players and our communities, our teams, and our fans, and for the leaders in our communities. I believe the urgency is actually beneficial, but this isn't something that started 2 weeks ago. This is something that we have been focused on for well over a year. It requires patience and a deeper understanding than we have on a lot of these issues. I know our fans are focused on football as they should, but we want to get that focus on football. We want to support our players and support our communities and help make them better. So, anyway, and also while we're over here, before I go to News of the Weird, let me give the standings for the football. And also, let me tell you this, you guys. Don't forget to tune in Saturday to DTR Games and Shout Out for collegiate and NFL sports. It's through Tampa Bay FM on the East Coast. And we don't hear it on the West Coast, but you hear it on the East Coast. But it starts at 7 o'clock on the West Coast, and on the East Coast, the show comes on from 10 to noon. And it's called DTR's Game and Shout Out, I think it is. So anyway, 7 o'clock on the West Coast. And, oh, it's on Spreaker.com. There you go, DTR. If you go to Spreaker.com and put in DTR Games and Shout Out, I think that's the title of it, it'll take you there. Okay, so these are the standings. So on the AFC, we got Buffalo, New York Jets, and England. Every one of them is tied for first place, sure, y'all. And then the AFC North, we have Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens are in the first place. In second place is the Bengals. Cleveland ain't won a game, y'all. Can somebody send a Hail Mary prayer over them, a priest, a pastor, a bishop, whatever? They haven't even won a game. They're 5 down, period. 0-5. Come on, Cleveland. I know you're not that bad of a team. We kind of clowned y'all last year, but come on, pick up the pace. Suck it up and at least win one or two games. Okay, the AFC South, we got the Jacksonville Jaguars in first place with 3 games. Houston Texans, 2-3, they're tied with Tennessee and Indianapolis Colts. So it's a second-place tie in the AFC South. You got Jacksonville Jaguars in first place. Second place is the Texans, the Tennessee Titans, and the Indianapolis Colts. Okay, in the AFC West, we've got the Kansas City Chiefs still undefeated. 5-0, ain't nobody beating them. Kansas City came back fiercely this year. I'm going to tell you guys congratulations because you are playing football. Denver Broncos are in second place. Third place is Oakland Raiders with 2-3. And last place is the Los Angeles Chargers, and the AFC West with only one. At least they won a game and they lost 4. At least y'all doing better than Cleveland with 0-5. Okay, now the National Football Conference, we got the NFC East. Philadelphia Eagles, 4-1. Washington Redskins and Dallas Cowboys are tied for second place. Woo, I talked about Cleveland. New York Giants, you're in the same place. They are 0-5. And you know, oh, God, I can't think of his name, the one that's got the blonde in his hair, he got his ankle broke at Sunday's game, so he's out for the season. But anyway, New York Giants are 0-5 in the NFC East. Now, in the NFC North, we've got Green Bay Packers in first place, 4-1. Detroit Lions, they're in third, tied with Minnesota. Both of them are in second place. They're both 3-2. And then in third place, Chicago has won one game and lost four in third place. The NFC South, we're looking at Carolina Panthers, 4-1. And in second place is Atlanta Falcons. And in third place, tied is New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, in the NFC West, we've got the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams are tied for first place. Second place is Arizona Cardinals. Oh, and the San Francisco 49ers, they're right there with New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns. Zero. They haven't won a game. Do you hear me, y'all? They haven't won a game. So, anyway, there's your NFL scores and standings where they're at. Okay, well, let's do some news of the weird. I haven't done that in a couple of weeks, so let's find out what's going on. Ebony Wood, 34, of Columbus, Ohio, was nothing if not thorough on the morning of September 8th when, following an argument with her daughter, she purposely drove her car onto the sidewalk and struck the 17-year-old daughter who was walking to school, according to Columbus police. After knocking the girl down and running over her leg, Miss Woody stopped and backed up, driving over the leg a second time, and reported Woody generously gave the guy a ride to her father's house, where she dropped her off without reporting the incident. Woody later turned herself in at police headquarters and faces charges of felonious assault, aggravated vehicular assault, and endangering children. The daughter was treated for the two fractures on her left leg. Damn, girl, your mama's a trip, okay? You better do what she say, because she'll try and kill your ass. Okay, in Auburn, Massachusetts, police received a number of calls over the weekend of September 15th through the 17th about a wayward goat. But it wasn't until the wee hours of Monday, September 18th, that number 448 was finally corralled at the La Quinta Inn in Auburn, reported CBS Boston. The mischievous runaway farm animal was seen on surveillance video, y'all, entering the lobby of the hotel and just wandering the halls, presumably to rest a bit, said police. Peter Blash, the owner, said the goat jumped a 5-foot fence and took off like a criminal. However, Blash said, I had one that made it all the way to Sturbridge. Okay, just north of Benton, Kansas, a rancher posted signs promising a reward to anyone who could help him find his missing long-haired cow, Mercedes. The Wichita Eagle reported the 3-year-old black and white bovine went missing on September 11th during cross trails, a weekly cowboy church service at Greg Johnson's Prairie Rose Ranch. Friends, neighbors, and family have searched high and low for Mercedes, recognizing her by 5-foot-wide horns. But the only sighting of her has been near the El Dorado, Kansas Walmart, about 10 miles away. Johnson said this isn't the first time she's run off. You know, she's more of a loner. Coolidge, Arizona. Resident Victor Pratt boasts that he's played with snakes his whole life. So when a rattlesnake slithered by during a family party at a nearby lake on September 7th, Pratt grabbed the viper and showed the kids how to catch it. And I was playing with it like little kids do. I wasn't thinking. I was showing off, he admitted to Fox 10 News. The rattler apparently didn't want to play along and bit Pratt on his face and neck. Pratt's sons quickly drove him to a nearby emergency room, and he was later airlifted to Banner University Medical Center, Phoenix, where Dr. Stephen Curry treated him. There is a 100% chance he would have died if he had not made it to the hospital within minutes, Curry noted. Pratt remained unconscious for several days. He told reporters he had learned his lesson and would not play with rattlesnakes again. Yeah, thank you, dumbass. A family in Coventry, England, are quite mortified. After calling the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals in September to rescue a lizard peeking from underneath a bed in their home, but when Officer Vic Hurd arrived at the home, she discovered the lizard was not a lizard at all. It was a pink, strippy sock. The dirty imposter sock, about 7 inches long and 2 inches wide, wasn't moving, Hurd noted. I think the family eventually saw the funny side. As RSPCA spokesman told The Independent, the sock had obviously been there quite a while. It was a typical teenager's bedroom, I suppose. The Caving Club at Indiana University explored Sullivan Cave in southern Indiana on September 17th. But when they headed back to campus, they forgot one thing, a 19-year-old freshman physics major who had become separated from the group and was trapped behind a locked gate. When the club president realized 2 days later that a carver had been left behind, members rushed back to save him. You could tell they were pretty shaken up, the carver told the Indiana Daily Student. They did near kill me. The student reported he licked moisture off the cave walls during the ordeal and wrote goodbye letters to his family on his iPhone until the battery died. Bonus, the rescuer's cave name is Lucas Kevar. The Weird Apocalypse. Cable television viewers in Orange County, California, were stunned on the morning of September 21st. When an ominous message accompanied by an emergency alert banner flashed across the screen. An increased volume, a man's voice boom, realize this, extremely violent times will come. Said viewer Stacy LaFlamme of Lake Forest, who was watching HGTV on the Cox communication cable system. Spectrum customers also received the alert. The warning seemed especially timing, given the doomsday writer David Mead had predicted the end of the world as we know it to occur 2 days later. LaFlamme told the Orange County Register the message sounded like a radio broadcast coming through the television. Dennis Johnson, a spokesman for Spectrum, said, "We have confirmed that we were fed an incorrect audio file, but neither company would determine where the audio file had come from." Let me just instill something right here. So I felt earlier this week that we're going to have an earthquake in the Northwest and water. Now, I think the earthquake is going to be a big one. It might be a 9.1, and we might even see a tsunami here on the West Coast between Washington and Oregon. But I do believe it's coming this weekend. Like I said, I felt Wednesday or Thursday. I just hope that it happens at night and not during the day where, you know, everybody's at work and people are out and about traveling. But anyway, that's my prediction. That's what I felt was on the West Coast. We are going to get a big earthquake, like a 9.1 with a tsunami or water following it. So that's just my prediction. You heard it here first on the Essence of Success Radio Network on the 11th of October 2017. Okay, now back to weird news. Bright ideas. Kevin Cook, 24, of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, was too drunk to drive on September 3rd, so he enlisted the help of an 8-year-old girl. WPXI News report, the girl told Darlington Township police that Cook, a family friend, ordered her into a car at her grandmother's house and forced her to drive him toward East Palestine, Ohio. The car stopped after nearly wrecking twice as bystanders called 911. Police tried to give Cook a sobriety test, but he was too impaired to finish it. He was charged with endangering the welfare of a child, driving under the influence, and driving without a license. Okay, how dumb can you get? Prosecutors in Geneva, Switzerland are looking for the culprits who flushed about $100,000 and 500-euro notes down four toilets in the city in May, one in the vault area of the U.S. bank and the other three in nearby bistros. While neither throwing money away nor blocking a toilet is a crime, Vincent Duran of the Genevieve Prosecutor's Office told the Tribune de Genevieve, "We want to be sure of the origin of the money. The cash was confiscated during the investigation, but Duran said there was no immediate reason to think it was dirty money, even though it was flushed down the toilet." Okay, one more story, and then I got to go. The Greene County, Tennessee Sheriff's Department alerted drivers along Checky Pike on September 20th not to be alarmed by a body that appeared to have been crushed by a house garage door. This is a Halloween decoration. The department's Facebook page warns, do not call 911 reporting a dead body. Officers had rushed to the scene with sirens blaring after a caller reported the body, but then discovered the cleverly but really early holiday tabloid. And that is the news of the weird. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me today on In the Studio with Linus. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening in the chat room or, around the air, around the world, on your iPhone, iPad, tablet, or whatever. Thank you for listening. I do appreciate it, and I am very grateful for you joining and supporting the show. And if no one has told you they love you today, well, I do. So I will see you Friday at 6 o'clock on Friday Traffic Jams for music. You know, we always have a real good time, so don't forget to check in with us Friday at 6 p.m. on the West Coast. All right. Have a good one, y'all. Take care now, and be careful this week.
Possibilities in the moon.